Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As my older niece likes to remind me, she graduated from UVA just a month after that championship was won. The Hoos are still the defending champs, and she's technically right, but we are just over a month away from a brand new champion being crowned in men's college basketball and, of course, on the women's side as well. March Madness is nearly here. Whoop, whoop. So as we bid farewell to February, which seems crazy enough, and we usher in March, we bring in a whole lot of drama in college basketball. But, of course, it won't be without its challenges. What else is new? That's our world over the last nearly 12 months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have you with us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Got a brand new post pinned to the top of our Facebook page, so I'll let you check that out. Maybe I'll tease you a little bit and let you know what it's about, but it does have to do with college sports, so check that out. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Inbounds, Walker picks it up at midcourt. Carolina up eight. Walker's going to pull up for a long two. No good. Tip in won't go. And Carolina, with the help of 3,000 of its closest friends here in the Smith Center, comes back from 16 points down late in the first half, down 12 at halftime. The Tar Heels blitz the Seminoles by 20 in the second half and win it 78-70 for one of the biggest victories of the season.
That is the final call for UNC's big second half comeback against what was a game Florida State team, a ranked Florida State team that just couldn't hold off the inevitable. And why did it matter? Well, it mattered for a lot of reasons. Number one, UNC is attempting to make the tournament. Number two, there were fans in the stands for the first time this season in Chapel Hill. And number three, Roy Williams earned win number 900 in his long and illustrious career.
It's neat, and I appreciate all the players that have ever been involved in those things, my assistant coaches. I've had the staff for 33 years. I felt like I've had the best coaching staff in the world, and I believe that every day.
So Roy Williams, who is one of the coolest guys that I've ever met in sports, one of the kindest, one of the most generous, certainly one of the most emotional, he earns win number 900. What does that mean for the Tar Heels when it comes to the NCAA tournament? And what about the loss for Baylor this weekend on the road at Kansas? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome one of our favorite guests, Jerry Palm, who is busy putting together brackets in the wake of what was a big weekend in college basketball. Now, Baylor was number two, Jerry. Thanks so much for joining us. They pick up their first loss of the season. It really was about several weeks in COVID protocols and not being able to practice, and Coach Scott Drew wanting everyone to know just what they've battled through, and lots of conference action taking place right now. But what does this mean for Baylor and for brackets?
Well, for Baylor, it means not much, really, because Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan had built such a gap between them and the rest of college basketball that they're in a position to take multiple losses and still stay on the top line of the bracket. So for me, I switched Baylor and Michigan. So Michigan's the overall number two and Baylor's the overall number three. But, you know, number four after Ohio State lost today is going to be Illinois, and Baylor could lose a couple more times easy and still not drop below Illinois, who's had a really good season. But that's how good and dominant Baylor has been over the course of this entire season.
So when we're looking at the number one seeds, if those three teams have created a gap, kind of their own little bubble at the top, who would be your fourth number one?
Yeah, so today, Illinois. It has been Ohio State since the committee told us Ohio State on February 13th. And they took a loss to Michigan in that period of time, and that didn't hurt them much. But today, the loss to Iowa, another very good team, but enough to push Illinois past them on the bracket. And then, you know, there's teams like Alabama hanging around, West Virginia, you know, maybe even a Houston, although that they're kind of a long shot for a one seed because of their schedule. But, you know, teams like that are really ready to push for that fourth spot if there's any faltering among, you know, the Big Ten teams and the Big 12 teams who have been really strong all season long.
It's pretty crazy to think about the fact that it's been almost a year since March Madness was canceled. So March 12th was the date, 2020, a date that most sports fans will never forget. Now here we are nearly a year later, and you've had an opportunity to kind of hear and see what this might look like in Indianapolis. A lot of fans are anxious. So what do we know about the upcoming NCAA tournament?
Yeah, so it's going to be played almost entirely in Indianapolis. There's going to be the first four and a couple of first-round games each at Mackey Arena, where Purdue plays about an hour north, and at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, where Indiana plays, and that's about an hour south. But everything else is going to be at four venues in Indianapolis. And it's going to be as controlled of an environment as they can manage with 68 teams. Each team is going to have their own floor of a hotel. Each member of their traveling party, up to 34 people, will have their own room so that they're, you know, we don't have roommate situations. And then there's, you know, pretty stringent NCAA testing protocols. Every team, every member of the traveling party has got to have 7 consecutive clean days of tests before they come to Indianapolis for the tournament, which, you know, if your conference tournament is this coming week, you've got plenty of time to do that. But how's the Big Ten, who's actually having their tournament in Indianapolis, they're going to have to start the NCAA testing protocols around the time their tournament starts in order for them to be ready to go to the NCAA tournament part of Indianapolis when that time rolls around. So that's why the tournament started a couple of days later this year. It's going to start on Thursday instead of Tuesday to get make sure everybody can get the testing done. And then, you know, they're going to isolate as much as they can. It's not a true bubble because, you know, you're not playing games in your hotel or something attached to your hotel. But, you know, they're keeping the teams as isolated as they can. And, of course, you know, you get 68 teams down there. And then, you know, once you lose, you go home. So the number of people that they're dealing with is getting halved every couple of days. But I think it's the best setup they could come up with to try to deal with all this and get this tournament played. And hopefully, you know, without any teams having to drop out, but realistic, that doesn't seem realistic, you know, with the way this season has gone, for the committee to be able to announce a 68 team bracket with the 68 teams they believe belong in it, and nobody having to opt out before then, and then to get all 67 games played without a single problem just doesn't seem to be realistic with what has gone on with the rest of college basketball, but they're going to give it a shot.
What type of stipulations or caveats is the NCAA building in case there is a team that doesn't go through 7 straight days or ends up with a player or a member of its traveling party testing positive?
Yeah, so if a team has to drop out before the bracket's announced, then they just don't consider them. If it's an automatic qualifier, then the conference replaces them. Otherwise, if it's a potential at-large team, they just leave them out. Once the bracket's announced, they've got 48 hours. There's a 48-hour window where if a team can't pass the testing protocols and they have to drop out of the bracket, then one of the teams that is the first four out that would normally be the number one seeds in the NIT will replace that team in that team spot in the bracket. They're not going to re-bracket. They're not going to shift everybody up and down because by then teams are scouting and, you know, practicing and preparing for a specific opponent. So you can't shift everybody in the bracket to fill a spot. They're just going to fill the one team spot, and then only that team and the team they're supposed to play are stuck with preparation issues. But so, and they've got four fill-in teams, and after that, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket. And after 48 hours, if somebody drops out, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket and going on.
Wow.
So, you know, if there's a hole, then they just, whoever they were supposed to play at the bye to the next round.
So, in other words, if a two seed ends up developing an issue and has to drop out, it sounds like there's a zero tolerance, too. If there's an issue, that team it gets bounced. So, if a two seed drops out, it gets filled by maybe team number 69?
Somebody who would normally be in the NIT. Somebody who would normally be in the NIT is going to fill that spot and play a 15 seed in the first game. But only in the 48 hours after the bracket's announced. After that, they're not substituting anybody.
Got it. Jerry Palm is with us from CBS Sports and is trying to keep track of everything as it happens. And this includes all of the various unexpected cancellations, postponements. Here we come on conference tournaments. So we'll see how that plays out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. College football managed to get through the season relatively unscathed. There was a lot of regular season action that was canceled, but a champion was crowned. It was on time. A lot of conferences also had championship games. How would you compare the way that college basketball has navigated everything thrown at it compared to college football?
Yeah, I mean, it's been about the same, really. There have been pockets of problems. Some conferences have had more games postponed than others. But we're going to get to these conference tournaments, and at least all of them that are, you know, the Ivy League sat out the entire season, but the other 31 conferences are ready to go with their conference tournaments. And, you know, we'll see if we can get 31 conference champions crowned in an NCAA tournament played. And there's reason for optimism because football was able to pull it off. And the NCAA learned a lot and had a 2-month advantage. You know, football starts around Labor Day in terms of the games and stuff, and basketball didn't start until November, and they put it off a few weeks to the end of November. So the NCAA had a chance to learn from what college football was doing and was able to apply a lot of things and change some things to hopefully correct or deal with the issues college football had during the regular season. And it's been pretty good, far from perfect, but pretty good. And then we'll see if we can get to the finish line now.
What are the plans for fans in attendance at the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, they just announced this last week. They're going to have 25% capacity in the facilities. Everybody that's involved in playing the game, the players, the coaches, the traveling parties, the referees, and all of that, count toward that 25%. That's not going to be a huge number, but still. So in a place like Mac Arena, which is 14,000, you know, 25% of that is about 3,500. And so, yeah, you might have a few thousand fans in Mackey Arena for the first four and the first round games that get played there. So, you know, the Hinkle Fieldhouse is only about 10,000 or so where Butler plays to Lucas Oil, you know, which is enormous. So, you know, 25% is going to depend on the building you're in, but it'll be nice to have fans in those facilities and make some noise, you know, because it doesn't take an entirely full arena for the crowd to be felt.
And they can make some noise, definitely can create some atmosphere, which is sorely missing. Jerry Palm is with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Chair, this almost sounds sacrilegious to say in a conversation about college hoops, but what are the chances that neither Duke nor North Carolina make the tournament?
Well, they're both playing better to try and get in, and we're not even talking about Kentucky because they're that far gone. But you know, Carolina is just past the last four teams in my bracket, so they're in, but they're about the fifth or sixth last team in. Duke is among the first four out, and they've been playing better. They'd won four in a row until they lost in overtime to Louisville over the weekend, and if they'd won that game, they would be in the bracket for now too. So they're both making a push to try and get into the field, and Michigan State as well, who lost to Maryland on Sunday, but had beaten Ohio State and Illinois the week before. So the three names that we didn't think we'd be talking about, you know, 2 weeks ago are all trying to push their way in, and we'll see if they can finish the job. And, you know, now that at least two of them are in, you know, now you have to stay there because it's not over yet.
Mm. What are a couple of good stories, maybe teams that people will be surprised to see in a field of 68?
Ooh. Well, I mean, there's always some surprising teams. I mean, you're looking at the top of a bracket and you see, you know, Gonzaga, who's been there a little bit lately, but Baylor, you know, has been building for a season like this. Would have been high in the bracket last year, but, you know, that Scott Drew has done a remarkable job with that program. Two names that Gonzaga we're more familiar with, Baylor maybe just starting to get familiar with in terms of the top of college basketball. But Houston is up there from the American Conference this year. We haven't seen Wichita State in a while. We may see them in the field. St. Louis University was a preseason favorite in the Atlantic 10, is now trying to fight their way in. They had a 34-day COVID pause.
Whoa.
And yeah, and so, you know, you're not even really practicing much since then. Lose a couple of games that they probably wouldn't have otherwise when they come back. And, you know, some of those teams are really struggling to find, you know, their way in. The Mountain West is having a good year with four potential teams. They probably won't all make it because they'll beat each other up to a point where two or three get in. But a resurgent year for the top of the Mountain West, which has been like a one-bid league in recent years, mostly San Diego State. But Boise State, Colorado State, Utah State all have a chance this year to play their way in. So it's been a pretty good year for them.
I was looking at your bracket, seeing schools like Grand Canyon and Abilene Christian and Drake. Yeah. How about that Drake as a 12 seed potentially?
Man, I got to see Drake. I've been to one game this year, and Valparaiso is about 30 minutes from where I live. So I went to see Drake play at Valparaiso. They actually lost on Sunday. I got to see the Saturday game when they came from behind to win. But they're a pretty good team. But they've been hit with injuries. Their best player has been out for a couple of weeks, and maybe even still this coming week with a ankle injury or a foot injury. And then they lost their second leading scorer for the season to an injury just last week. So they've been trying to hold it together with bubblegum and duct tape here for a little bit and see if they can't push their way into the bracket. But they're going to have to perform well in their conference tournament to make that happen. In fact, they might even have to win it.
One thing that makes me feel like it's nearly March is Michigan State finding some heat and finding a little bit of momentum, though. Yet again, another school, another team that people are used to seeing at the top that isn't there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Ohio State and Illinois back-to-back last week and went from not even on my bubble to into the bracket. And now they lose to Maryland yesterday. But that's not going to hurt them too much. I think they'll still be in the bracket tomorrow. But, you know, they've got a game with Indiana, who's floundering, and who actually, you know, Michigan State beat to start this streak of good play. And then they have home-and-home with Michigan. So, you know, the Indiana game is going to be really important for Michigan State, so they have a bit of a cushion for those Michigan games. And then we'll see what they can do in the conference tournament. But they'll probably need to do something there as well.
Inside of 2 weeks until Selection Sunday. So, Jerry, considering what this last year has been like, what are your emotions about finally moving forward again?
Yeah, they're mixed because I'm really excited to see the tournament get played. I mean, that's, you know, and it's in my backyard in Indiana. So hopefully I'm going to be able to go at least, you know, to some of those games. I'm not able still to travel to like New York for the TV stuff I normally do for CBS Sports Network. So I'll be doing that remotely from home, and that'll feel weird. But I'm glad to see the games get played. My team is doing well, so I'm happy to see that. You know, it's been fun watching college basketball. You know, the Ohio State-Michigan game last Sunday really felt good to watch. It was a fun game to watch. Two really good teams going at it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a Final Four caliber game, and I hadn't really seen anything like that this year There may have been other games like that that I just missed, but that one really felt good and encouraging, you know, going forward into, you know, conference tournament season, which is, the 2 weeks of conference tournaments are a lot of fun because the games are intense. Everybody's playing, their seasons are on the line. And I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. Just over a month out if the Final Four is, in fact, played on time. You can find Jerry on Twitter at JPPalmCBS. And Bracketology, it's got its own special tab on CBSSports.com. So check out the latest, as it is a very fluid situation. Jerry, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Lots of information there. But interesting to hear what Jerry has to say about the NCAA tournament. So several different arenas. They're clustered around Indianapolis, Lucas Oil obviously being the craziest one, or the largest, kind of biggest venue. But they'll make it work. The protocols, though, 7 consecutive days of negative tests for your travel party. And then once the bracket is announced, there's a 48-hour window. If a team has to drop out, one of the first 4 teams left out of the bracket will automatically be placed where that other team dropped out, regardless of seed, regardless of matchup. But then after those first 48 hours, if a team drops out, they just leave it. And that part of the bracket has a forfeit or a walkover. And so they've got these different stipulations and gauges in place where they can move forward even if they end up having a team that chooses not to play or can't play because they can't pass through all the protocols. But there will be fans, which is cool for March Madness. I've missed it. Now, coming up, another bit of college sports update that I want to share with you. That has to do with us. And also, you're not going to believe what I found in my cupboard over the weekend. And I can't bring myself to throw it away. Oh, my gosh. I don't like to waste things.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Carl, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
I actually do one bracket that I do with my brain that I call my brain bracket, and then I have my heart bracket. Are there any questions you have about my heart bracket versus my brain bracket?
Insane in the membrane.
Your heart bracket would be teams that you like or be just how you feel about a game?
Well, the heart bracket is definitely, it's more teams that I like and I feel more of a emotional connection to.
I have a huge heart.
And then the brain bracket is more from a numerical value, like a analytical point of view.
So which bracket is more accurate, your brain bracket or your heart bracket, Carl?
My heart bracket is actually working out very good.
The heart always wins out. Your heart will go on, Carl.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once more, you open the door, and you're here in my heart.
We'll have to get our After Hours bracket challenge up and running again. It's kind of nuts, though, to think about, but here we are. It's March 1st for a good portion of the country. In fact, all of the time zones in the contiguous 48 states are now technically into the month of March, which is crazy. But as we kind of unlock this whole new world, which let's hope means spring, but also which means a year past when the pandemic really took over not only our conversations, but governed our actions, our choices. It's been a year. Think about where you were a year ago this time. Maybe nothing had changed for you yet. I remember I flew home from Texas on March 3rd. I had taken my typical kind of long weekend to visit my mom, and I was in Houston, and I flew back on a Tuesday morning. And there were a few people, mostly Asians, who were traveling that were wearing their masks. I remember commenting about it to my mom in a text message. Hey, there's a few people on the plane with a mask. But nothing had been mandated yet, of course. if there were cases at that time, it was only a handful. And I'm not sure about the first date of the very first case in the United States. But the travel restrictions had only just started. And really, most of us were still going about our daily lives like nothing had changed. And then, boom, right into a brick wall. And within days, everything changed dramatically. It's been a year, you guys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. All right, I promised you another college basketball update. Here's what we know about the NCAA Women's Tournament. Right now, as it stands, and we're still a couple of weeks out from Selection Monday, usually a Monday for women's hoops, they're actually all going to be in San Antonio. And so the regionals that are moving to the state of Texas, they have got their own different blueprint in place. But UConn, Stanford, Texas A&M, South Carolina right now sit as the top four in what is kind of an early peek behind the curtain for the women's tournament. So UConn, Stanford, Texas A&M, South Carolina, the selection show comes up Monday, March 15th, and that's an evening selection show following what will be the men's big day on Sunday. So that's where the women stand right now. The top two teams in the tournament would be UConn and Stanford. It's just amazing what's happened with the Connecticut Huskies. And it's not about rebuilding ever. It's about reloading and the consistency that Gino Auriemma and his staff have been able to coach over what is now a decade. So that's on the women's side. Now, why do they play? Some of you have asked that question over the last year. What's the point? Why are they playing in the middle of a pandemic with all of these protocols? Is it worth it? And to that end, producer Dave managed to put up our recent conversation with UAB head football coach Bill Clark on our YouTube channel. So I posted that to the top of our show Facebook page. All right, so check it out. It's new on YouTube. We don't use our YouTube channel as much anymore because we just don't have enough hours in the day. But I thought this was fitting. We had talked to Bill Clark not that long ago, but he takes us through this emotional journey from summer shutdown to conference championship and answers the question of why it was all worth it. Everything they went through, 5 weeks of not playing games. I mean, just the whole thing was so emotional and so stressful. And yet he calls it one of the most rewarding seasons of his career. So keeping that in mind as we not only mark a year, but also move forward into March Madness, I know that you'll really appreciate that interview with UAB head football coach Bill Clark, because if they had stopped in the middle, the finished product and the feelings about playing college football might not have been the same. And yet here is college basketball that's forging a way through, again, what are difficult and challenging circumstances. But this conversation with Coach Clark is extremely encouraging. I did put it on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'll go in right now and retweet it so it's at the top of your newsfeed. But I would encourage you to mark it and to listen to it when you have an opportunity, because he's really candid and honest about how hard this season was and yet ultimately why he's so glad that they had the chance to play and that they didn't stop. That they forged a way through. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I got to ask you a quick question before we take our break. I'm interested in hearing some of your responses or seeing them on social media. This weekend, don't ask me what possessed me to go into my stash of popcorn. I have a stash of popcorn. I used to be really big on kettle corn. My latest thing now with movies is to have the Orville Redenbacher's pour over movie butter popcorn. I could eat that entire bag. I usually do eat the entire bag. If there's no one there to share it with me, I can eat the whole bag all by myself. So you pop the popcorn and then you pour the butter over it, as if I can't get my own butter. But it smells and tastes so much like the actual popcorn you get at the movies. And I know
that escalated quickly.
It did. The whole thing. It definitely is. Is something that I miss. And I know a lot of you miss too, going to the movies in person. And so I was looking at my stash of popcorn to see if I needed to buy some more at the store on Saturday. And what do I pull out? A single packet that's by itself. It's not in a box, of kettle corn with the date. Best if used by November 2016. Okay, two things. I did not know that popcorn had an expiration date. I swear to you, I had no idea that popcorn could go bad. How does it spoil? I've never once in my life checked the use-by date for popcorn, ever. So there's microwave popcorn that's now in my cupboard. Actually, I took it out of the cupboard just in case it was contaminated and put it in a box that's on one of my shelves there in my kitchen so I can look at it and contemplate the situation. I hate to waste it. Popcorn can't go bad, right? There's no way that I've always used the popcorn by the date that's on the package.
It's quite pungent.
Best by November 2016. I got to tell you, of all of the sports or personal tweets that I put out there over the past, let's say, week, your favorite by far was my tweet about the microwave popcorn. So is there something in your cupboard that you discovered recently or that you know has been there for longer than 5 years? Something that you maybe didn't know goes bad, but there's actually a use-by date on it. My mom and I were talking about this. She's pretty sure she's got stuff in her cupboard. Actually, she went in and looked. It might be it was a box of cake mix that had the date 2013 on it. We laughed our butts off as we were going through our cupboards on Saturday. Anyway, so check it out. Maybe there's something in your kitchen, or maybe you know of something recently that you just couldn't bear to part with.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You could talk about this, you could talk about that, you could talk about whatever. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Mm. Put it like that. So if you're asking me, I'm not 32. Like, real talk. Like, I'm like, when you put it like that, bro, I'm not the 32 worst. Like, come on, man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Cam's mouth to the ears of NFL general managers all over the league. Come on, man. I'm not 32. I may not be top 10. I can't even tell you I'm top 15, but I'm sure as heck not 32. It's classic Cam. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was a relatively quiet weekend in the NFL. Now, there's rumblings just beneath the surface. It's almost like a volcano beginning to erupt. It's not quite shooting lava out the top, fiery hot lava that will burn your feet off if you're standing too close. I'm sorry, that was morbid. But it is definitely starting to erupt. I mean, we're just weeks away now from the NFL league year beginning. And, you know, the legal tampering period starts before that. We've got the franchise tag deadline that's coming up. We obviously have cuts that are going to be made. And you can feel the tension if you're in touch with what's happening in the NFL because it's going to be an offseason unlike any other. The first domino, of course, is the NFL to set the salary cap and teams to know what they're dealing with. And after that, we're talking about teams having to make uncomfortable decisions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're just about to put up our Man Crush Monday poll, and it originates with our show Twitter. That's After Hours CBS. You can also find us on Facebook. I know a lot of you are finding me on Twitter as well. Luka Doncic is part of the mix. This is a guy who, every time he steps on the court, has the ability to erase or replace an NBA record, especially when it comes to age. His birthday, Sunday, just turned 22 years old, and he already has 32 triple-doubles in his career. Can you believe that? That's 19 more than the next closest guy at his age. So historically, he's got 19 more triple doubles than any other player before turning 22. In addition, he's already made 419 threes in his career, his NBA career. There's probably a few more than that in his whole entire life. 419 threes. He's on a torrid scoring pace, even though some would criticize and say that there are loopholes in his game when it comes to his shooting. The Mavericks, among those teams in the Western Conference that are fighting, scratching, clawing. We had told you earlier in the show how there are seven teams in the East with 17 losses. Seven teams with 17 losses. Well, in the West, things are just as jumbled, though it's closer to the bottom of the playoff standings. Portland's 18-14, Denver 18-15, Golden State 19-16. That's your number eight team right now in the West. The Mavericks 16-16, the Grizzlies 15-15. Remember, there's the new, well, it's new, but it's old. It's new, but it's a repeat. The whole 7-10 play-in tournament that the NBA introduced a year ago, that is actually moving forward, going to be a staple of the postseason. And so we will have this kind of mini play-in tournament for the NBA once we get to the postseason in May. Everything's kind of jumbled up and pushed back a little bit. Major League Baseball right now is on schedule. But that could change if you talk to different guys inside Major League Baseball. We had heard this from David Sampson, longtime Marlins president, last week, that there is still the chance that this agreement for the 21 season could be tweaked, though teams obviously are moving forward with their spring training and their season preparations. A couple of really cool moments from spring training on Sunday that I'll get to here coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we put football in the rearview mirror this hour, I got to tell you, this is pretty sweet. I texted Sarah Thomas again on Friday. And for those of you who don't know, Sarah Thomas is the female official who was the down judge in the Super Bowl. She's the only full-time female official so far in the NFL ranks, and she's the first and only ever to work a Super Bowl. And I had texted her going back a week and hadn't heard anything in response, and so I didn't want to assume the worst. I thought that I would text again before I tried calling or emailing and putting on the full court press. Well, as it turned out, she got right back to me on Friday, and she apologized for the delay. In fact, I woke up to the text message. I had gone to bed. I think I texted her right around 8 o'clock Eastern time. I actually don't know where she lives. I suppose I could check out the area code on her cell phone, but I didn't really care that much. So anyway, she got back to me right after I had put the phone down and gone to sleep. And she was really kind. So nice to hear from you. Forgive the delay in getting back to you. I'd love to come on your show. She said, I need to run it through the league, and then I'll look at my calendar and get back to you with a date and a time. And so I'm really excited about it. This is obviously something I've been talking about here on the show for quite a while, and put myself out there and let you know that I was going to take this chance. And I had to work my channels just to get her cell phone number. I don't know if I told this story or not, but initially the cell phone number that was given to me was actually for a different Sarah in the NFL officiating office. What are the chances there are two Sarahs working in the NFL officiating office? But there were. And so initially the number that was given to me wasn't for Sarah Thomas. It was for a different Sarah. That was a little embarrassing after I poured my heart out in a text message. Just kidding. I mean, it was a little embarrassing, but not because I poured my heart out in a text message. Anyway, so Sarah Thomas, then, completely different number. I go back to my contact. He gives me what he thinks is the right number for Sarah. So I had to try all over again, and then didn't hear from her for 6 days and was like, okay, I'm not above being a pest. I'm really not. Sometimes that's how you get stuff done. And trying to remember, it's her off season and she's got three kids and other stuff going on in her life too. So it was really cool to wake up to that on Friday, and I exchanged a couple of texts with her. She has already submitted the request to the league. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen, baby. Woo! Boom, in other words. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So that's the update on Sarah. Those of you who know, you know she was on the show from Radio Row in Houston back in 2016. I think that was the season. And it was so cool to be able to connect with her. And I'm really excited about having her on the show again because obviously she's risen through the ranks and she was the best at her position, at her job, her skill over this past season to be able to work a Super Bowl. So that's awesome. Now, in terms of Major League Baseball, and we'll do a little more with the boys of summer once we get through the top of the hour. But did you see that Trey Mancini not only got a standing ovation as he made his spring training debut? A lot of teams were playing their first spring games on Sunday. He received a standing ovation and applause from both dugouts. This is the Orioles first baseman. And he came up to bat in the first inning on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so he approaches the batter's box. People figure out it's him. He gets all kinds of cheers from the people who are there. And then, in addition, both dugouts stand and give him an ovation. In fact, the pitcher even steps off the mound. Umpire makes a whole show of cleaning the plate longer than he normally would, so that Trey Mancini can have that acknowledgement. He missed all of 2020 while he was recovering from colon cancer. Stage 3 colon cancer. We're talking about an aggressive cancer. And I hope that we can find some of his reaction after the fact, because he was really emotional about it, as you can imagine. So it was a great season in 2019, but missed all of that shortened 2020 season. Orioles are happy to have him back, of course, but as you can imagine, for Mancini, this is quite the triumph and the return to play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.